Good evening. Today is Monday, November 28th. The regular meeting of City Council is 7 p.m. Mr. Stahl, would you take the roll?
It is Mayor Pro Tem Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCowen.
Present.
Alderman Snell.
Present.
Mayor Sanford. Alderman Hoskins.
Present.
Alderman Bowles.
Present.
We have quorum.
Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
All right. Thank you guys for coming out this evening. Mayor Sanford is ill this evening, so we will proceed on. Item 4.0, Mayor Sanford, we will skip that. Item 5.0, public hearings and public comments. This is your chance to talk to your city council, and we encourage you to do so. Unfortunately, we can't have back and forth with you, but we do listen. So I'm going to start over here to the left with Ms. Andrews and work our way on to the right.
Yep.
Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Daniel Wella, City Council of Shore Acres, and I live in Pasadena, Texas. I've come here because I was a previous...
Mr. Bill, your address, please.
Oh, 113 Park Street, Pasadena, Texas. I was a previous employer of y'all for 12 years, and I was advised by my three attorneys that I have retained to come give you a 10-day notice of intent to file a lawsuit against the City of Shore Acres for wrongful termination and mental anguish. I was terminated prior to me being going to court for an offense that I was charged for theft by a public servant out of the Harris County Court. According to y'all's, y'all held a meeting and y'all decided to dispose of me or fire me without just cause. I had not gone to court at that time. I was exonerated as far as mall charges were dismissed. I have a copy of this and my attorney will have this. From the clerk, where all charges were dismissed of the theft that I was accused by the City of Pasadena, because I have accused some people there of stealing money. It was just a retaliation. And like I said, all charges were dismissed. Also, the Texas Commission of Law Enforcement investigated me, and I'm still commissioned as far as a peace officer. They found no wrongdoing. So, like I said, I still retain my peace officer license. My advice from my attorney is I was told that I can give y'all three options. I give y'all 10-day notice, which is you can either reinstate me with full back pay for the 2 years, which roughly you're looking at about $110,000. You can either say, no, we don't want you back, we'll pay you $150,000, or we can go to court. It's going to fall under civil liability, not criminal court. Civil liability, I have to prove that I was accused, I didn't do. And like I've always said, my integrity is what I retain. I fought the charges. I fought them for a year and a half, and the court said there was no wrongdoing in my part. So, as a citizen, I chose to come and give y'all that advice as City Council to do the right thing, to reinstate me, give me my back pay. Like I said, I've enjoyed working for sure because I was here 12 years. A lot of people know me, and if y'all don't know, integrity is what you do when nobody's looking. And I hold that, and like I said, I can tell you, and I'm just asking you for that. I'll give you 10 days. I will be contacting you out there 10 days, see what the options y'all decide to choose, and we can go from there. But like I told y'all, I do have a copy of the court where all charges were dismissed. And by the way, I did reimburse the City of Shore Acres the $280, which is 10% of y'all's budget, to the police budget, which I didn't have to. Because Shore Acres never was my accuser. It was the City of Pasadena. And then they fired me, or I got out of the city of Pasadena Fire Department. I never was in the city of Pasadena Fire Department. I was under the volunteer. It's two different things, the fire chief and the fire marshal, or that I'm on the volunteer. They even got that wrong. So I just want to let y'all know that, you know, I can go back as a volunteer if I want to, because I can go to the paid department. There has never been a paid department. So I said, I'm just asking the citizen, if y'all want input from the citizens, look at it. I think my record reflects Daniel Vela as a police officer, and I've cleared my name to the courts, and the court said, you didn't do no one. It was signed by the judge, not just by the DA's office. It was signed by the judge. Thank y'all.
Yes, sir. Ms. Ramos?
Felicia Ramos, 3416 Sunrise Drive. I just want to say thank you for the awesome trash service. I don't really like the Tuesday, Friday pickup. I can't really complain because they pick up anything and everything. It seems like, you know, from China and back. The ditch mowing, totally happy with how that's looking. Side note, is there something, I know I always complain about this, about the lots beside homeowners that are overgrown? I have a new family of raccoons living beside me. Hamlet is not a very happy camper about it. Neither am I, because I'm afraid now they're going to come in. The snakes we have kind of handled, but, I mean, we're seriously getting coons. I mean, the size of, like, panda bears walking through there. So if we can do something about, you know, overgrown lots, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Harris.
Yeah, the water leak, 7.3, 7.4. Well, I don't think the city start dealing with a lot of problems. You start going on somebody's land doing repairs one way or the other. But if we need to pass an ordinance to cut off a water leak or whatever it takes to get things like that fixed, unless somebody has some other idea, we need to pass the ordinance to... Man, that leak's been going on too bad, way too long. Other cities have ordinances against it. It just, we need to do something besides go on people's property and fix them. Thank you.
Ms. Harris? Ms. Coon? Mr. Coon? Yeah. Amanda? Ms. Miller? Scott Miller? Yes. Mr. Hayes? I'm not going to get you, Chuck.
You wouldn't have a chance. Chuck Hayes, 122 Meadow Lawn Street, Shore Acres, Texas. First, I'd like to compliment our maintenance people for the beautiful job they did along Miramont Park from the Yacht Club clear to Fairfield. That's been looking a little ragged lately. Secondly, I'm here as a representative of Shore Acres Recreation Association. I am the vice president of that organization. We have spent a lot of money this year maintaining our parking lot from flood damage. And after some quite a bit of observation of where the water was coming from, basically, when we get a heavy rain, the water runs right off the road across our parking lot and washes away the gravel. And I would like for someone to take an action to look at the possibility of putting some kind of a drain or swale right along the road, because it's a road drainage problem that we seem to have, and deflect the water from our parking lot. We have actually spent over $300 this year just replacing the gravel that's been washed away. Granted, we're replacing it with something a little more durable than gravel that would flow, but it is a constant problem, and it won't stop until some kind of a swale or something is laid alongside the road. I guess what I'm asking for is somebody to take a look at it and potentially spend some of the city's money on it. I try not to do that because of the nature of that organization, but I don't know what else to do in this case. Thank you.
Mr. Diblin. All right. We'll move on to administrative reports. Mr. Stahl.
Good evening. Administrative report is brief. We all had a great Thanksgiving. The office was closed for a couple of days, and we've got 2 weeks uneventful. I have nothing to report under administrative report.
All right. Anybody got any questions about administrative reports? Thank you very much. We're on 6.2, monthly financial report.
In your packet are our accounts as we start a new fiscal year. The general fund balance at the end of October was $210,470.94. The utility fund was $129,935.98. In our tech school, we have $410,405.46. Our certificates of deposit and maturity, they remained untouched, is $255,852. In your packet, we did not have the sales tax numbers at the time the packet was put together. I have those tonight. Our October sales tax for general sales tax is $7,092.42. And the road maintenance sales tax is $1,773.11. Both of those are better than October a year ago. And that's the financial report.
Council, does anyone have any questions for Mr. Self on the financial report? Hearing none, we'll move forward to business. 7.1, consideration and approval of invoices. Do I have a motion to approve invoices?
I move to approve the invoices.
Do I have a second?
A second.
And I do have some comments regarding our invoices.
Get to you in just 1 second. All right. Mr. Hoskins, go ahead.
I have a question about some of our invoices, particularly like Hudson Energy. Looks like we received quite a few invoices, which is fine. But we seem to have late fees. And I don't understand why we have late fees. We should have sufficient money to pay our bills on time. Every council meeting, we approve these invoices, but for some reason we're getting late fees. And if I could just get an explanation as to why that is.
Mr. Stone.
Yeah, late fees are a function of collecting the second signature.
So can you help me out on that?
Yeah, we approve invoices, and it often takes a week to get the second signature on a check so that we can put it in the mail.
So you're saying this is a function of the mayor not signing the invoices?
It's a function of the second signature not being on there. They are provided to the mayor for that.
Okay, the first signature being yours, the second signature being the mayor's.
That's correct.
Mr. Hoskins, do you have any other questions? Nope. Mr. Bowles? Ms. Snell?
Nope.
Mr. McCallum?
No.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Yeah. We have considered it. All those in favor say aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Jennings?
Yes.
Could I get you to read into the record who made the motion and who seconded it, please?
For the record, the motion made by Mr. Ron Hoskins. The second was made by Ms. Nancy Snell.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? And that passes unanimously. Item 7.1.2, consideration and action to adopt ordinance number. I'm sorry, folks, I'm going really slow tonight because last time I did this, I messed up. So I'm going to go slow tonight so that no one can complain. Consideration and action to adopt ordinance number 2016-230, prohibiting the misuse or waste of city water, providing for the suspension of water service for waste of city water, providing for the restoration of water service, providing for a penalty for noncompliance. Do I have a motion to proceed with this?
I make a motion to consider an action to adopt ordinance number 2016-230, prohibiting the misuse of waste of city water, providing for the suspension of water service for waste of city water, providing for the restoration of water service, providing for a penalty of noncompliance.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Bowles, a second by Alderman McCallum. Mr. Bowles, state your case.
All right. As we've heard over several meetings, and even when I ran for office, there's a concern about water leakage. This isn't particular one house right now, but it could very well be another house and another house. I worked with Mr. Stahl and the city attorney to come up with something. that might be an option. I just brought it back because I still see the water leaking, and I wanted to, if it dies this time, I'm done with it. But there's stipulations here. We're not giving one person any one power to kill water. You're not just going to walk up, hey, you left your sprinkler on, and use a little bit of water, and we're going to cut your water off. There's stipulations here. One being that customer consumption exceeds 1,500 gallons over a period of not less than 24 hours and no more than 32 hours. So if you have a water line break and nobody's home and somebody notices it, the city's pretty good about going and knocking on doors and saying, hey, your water's leaking. They'll contact the homeowner. The other one is if you get an consumption of 100,000 gallons over a period of 21 days or less and providing the written notice required by subsection C is issued to the customer. This way, if you're using 100,000 gallons of water, that is a water bill that is outrageous. Now, you can let it go, and the resident's going to have to either pay it or not pay it. And if they can afford a $3,000 water bill, however much it is, they can pay it. God bless them, and it keeps going. But at least it prevents it, because what happens is water's running down the street, and it's affecting neighbors around. And it's not – I have a hard time with this. We should not be dictating what people do with their homes. But when it affects your neighbors, I really believe that something has to be done. And this isn't something that occurs all the time. It happens from time to time. And, I mean, as Mr. Harris got up and spoke, yeah, we've got to do something. I mean, short of, letting it go into collection because the person can't afford the water bill by that time. How much water have we used in that leak?
You know?
In the last 12 weeks, 836,000 gallons.
Wow. And who's to say this doesn't happen again? I mean, yes, this is a one-time thing right now, but it does occur. And at least we have something to fall back on. So, and that's where I am. But I do have a problem with too much government interfering with people, but at the same time, what do you do? I mean, this has been going on for a couple of years now, and if we can do something, fine. If we can't, then so be it. The water will eventually be cut off because a water bill will be so expensive they can't afford it anyway. So, that's my case.
Mr. Hoskins?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. We've got to do something about this. What I'm wondering is, what have we done today? We already have municipal code in place. That can't accommodate it. We also have state code in place concerning health code violations, which clearly this is an example of, that much water, and I've gone by and looked at it sitting in the ditch. It can create mosquitoes, rodents, and so forth, and have we written any citations?
We have.
And my understanding is every day there's a violation, we can write up another one.
You can, but the court won't accept it. They won't let you do that.
Okay, and it's a $500 per occurrence fine?
If it's a health code violation, can it be up to $2,000?
For $2,000, what has occurred with that particular violation?
Been reset in court. They have not appeared in court yet.
Okay.
And it's been, I think, 3 months or so.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that.
I mean, we can only write the ticket. We can't tell the court what to do with it.
I understand that. But this has been going on for a few years.
Well, different issues have.
Yeah, in terms of the water.
Okay.
Yeah, they've been paying the bill.
Wow. It'd be a lot cheaper just to repair the close the pipe. And then there's the alternative, which is the one that Mayor Stanford has proposed.
And if I can just say something real quick.
The
issue I have with that is when the city takes the liability of working on other people's property, you have to have a master plumber do it, which we don't have. We'll have to contract it. We'll have to put a line item in the budget to handle it. And then you have the liability of if somebody goes in there, if it's inside of the house, and we're going to make a repair inside of the house, and they don't like it because they don't feel that the repairs are just, they can come back and sue us. Then you have, if somebody walks out in the yard and steps in a hole and twists an ankle or breaks an ankle, we're liable. If we use a piece of equipment and something happens, we're liable.
Yeah,
no. We're liable all the way across with that ordinance. And this is part of the reason why we did this. The other thing with that is that's for stagnant water. If you go and you look, the water is flowing. It's chlorinated water that is flowing. It started off slow. Now the leak has gotten bigger. The water bill has gotten bigger. It's a true break. If you go and you look and you stand and watch the ditch, you can see it's flowing down the road. When you get a rain, it really goes further down and it tends to travel around. That's my issue with that ordinance. That's stagnant water, and this is not stagnant water in this case. So,
yeah, and that's my concern about that ordinance as well. I don't think the city should be going out and repairing somebody's.
Okay, guys, let's stick to ordinance number 2016-23.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm good.
Alderwoman Snell?
This is a pickle. And it's unfortunate that our court system won't do their job in a timely fashion because, I mean, who wants to pay a $2,000 fine? You could definitely fix that leak, you know, time over. That's my opinion. But who can afford to pay a $3,000 water bill? I mean, I guess if you can do that, you can pay the fine. I do echo the concerns that, you know, that both you and Alderman Hoskins have. And like Mr. Stahl said, we can't force the court to do anything. And that's really, really frustrating because if the court would just handle this, I have a strong suspicion that the property owner would fix this leak. And I do not like putting any ordinance on the books just to address one single problem, one particular home. I mean, that being said, something has to be done. It's my understanding now, am I correct, Mr. Stahl, is this property scheduled to have their water shut off soon in quick fashion?
They'll come up for a disconnect notice, and that gives them the opportunity to pay a portion of the bill and not be turned off. So I can't predict that they will or they won't. But if they don't, then 2 days later they would be disconnected.
Now, the court, have we given them the health code violation, the $2,000 fine, or we've just, because I think that there's another one about the water that's like $500 a day, if that's correct.
Well, they've been cited, and we can write a citation or bring the charges. The prosecutor makes the decision on accepting them, and they don't like the stacking of charges, so they don't want to see multiple things. People are entitled to a speedy trial, but they're also entitled to reset and have their day in court. And in this particular case, it's been reset. And I think that the judge resets these often, this type of thing, in the hopes that they'll fix it before they come to court. Because municipal court does not have the power or the authority to require anyone to fix anything. So it's just kind of held as a hammer over their head, if you will.
Okay. We're just in a bad situation on that side.
I mean, last time we had it on the agenda, if it had passed, we would have turned it off. Between that date and today, it would have been 177,000 gallons of water.
Is that all, Alderman Snell?
That's all.
Alderman McCallum.
Well, I'm definitely not, for the most part, interested in our city council going down this road with the city ordinance. But at the same time, and on the flip side of the page, this ordinance only deals with a limited amount of people that aren't accountable for their actions. And since they haven't been able to be accountable for their actions, and they haven't been able to do what's right so far, I think it's time that we go ahead and take action so we don't have an ongoing problem. We kill it tonight and take care of the problem.
Is that all?
Yes.
My turn. I agree that it's a problem, but I simply disagree that we should write an ordinance about a problem like this. So, all those in favor of ordinance number, we have a motion by Mr. Bowles, seconded by Mr. McCallum. All those in favor of ordinance number 2016-230, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, I can't hear it down here, so who said aye?
I said aye.
We have Mr. Bowles and Mr. Hoskins. All those opposed?
Nay.
Nay. 2 nays. And Mr. McCallum?
I voted for it.
You voted for it?
Yeah.
Okay. Motion passes 3-2. The ayes are Mr. Bowles, Mr. Hoskins, Mr. McCallum. The nays are Ms. Schnell, Mr. Higgins. On to number 7.3. And this is superfluous, I guess, but we'll read it anyway. Discussion, consideration, and action to adopt ordinance number 2016-236, prohibiting stagnant water due to water breaks on private property, allowing the city to repair the water breaks at the expense of the landowner after proper written notice is provided and a possible fine assessed. Do I have a motion? Item 7.3 fails due to lack of a motion. Item 7.4. Consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-214, requiring participation in the Texas Comptroller's Transparency STARS program. Since Mayor Sanford is not here, I will make a motion to pass resolution number 2016-214, a resolution requiring the city to participate in the Texas Comptroller's Transparency STARS program, requiring minimum requirements to qualify for the traditional finances Transparency STAR, making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, finding compliance with the open meetings law, and providing an effective date thereof. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Mr. Jennings, second by Mr. Hoskins. The reason that I made the motion to pass this, or to talk about this resolution, is because while I am in favor of this, very much so, I cannot vote for it at this particular time, and I will tell you why. The reason is that our city secretary is under attack every single day of the week by public access requests and by the mayor. So until we have that negated and gone away, I cannot vote for this, even though I am very much in favor of this. We only have so many hours in the day, and you cannot keep harassing the city secretary. Mr. McCallum, any thoughts?
Not at this time. I'll pass right now.
Alderman Snell. Alderwoman Snell.
I, too, am in very much in favor of what the STAR program stands for. December 1st deadline, first of all, we're nowhere near ready to take this step. We're lacking the infrastructure to get there. I mean, this is kind of putting the cart before the horse. I think it's an excellent thing to strive for, but I do not like the timetable because I think it's unrealistic and it would be impossible to make that deadline. And that's all.
Alderman Hoskins.
I agree. December 1st is about 3 days away. I don't think we'll make it. So we really can't vote in favor of that either. But I am very much in favor of open government. I think we need open government. I think the citizens, this would be an excellent program for the citizens to, that the citizens would benefit from. And I do want someday in the future that we have something like this. It's a nice for the city to have awards for competency. But I agree, it's a little, can't do it today, tonight.
Alderman Bowles.
I think everybody's, I'm in agreement with everybody on this, so that's all I have.
Okay, we have a proper motion. We have a proper second on item 7.4. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
And the motion fails unanimously. Item 7.5, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2016-237, amending the general fund and utility fund operating budgets for fiscal year 2016-2017. Again, this was Mayor Sanford's agenda item, so I will take her place at this moment. I will make a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-237. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Jennings, second by Bowles. I'm going to make a motion to amend. I'm going to make a motion to amend Exhibit A, replacing it completely with Exhibit A that you have been provided at your desk. The line item, there are four line items rather than the mayor's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 line items. Do I have a second for the amendment?
I'll second.
So I have a motion from Jennings for the amendment and a second from McCallum. Do I have any discussion? Alderman Bowles.
No, I don't have any discussion right now.
Alderman Hoskins.
Yep.
Alderman Hoskins, I have a question for you. Did I do this procedurally correct today?
Today? Yes.
Okay. Alderman Snell.
No question.
Alderwoman Snell. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to be
correct. It took 3 years for they to figure out the woman thing anyway. It's all good.
You know, I'm working on it.
I was Alderman forever. No harm.
Alderwoman Snell.
I'm good.
That's what it says on your plaque.
Alderman
McCallum. I'm good.
Okay. So do I have it? Okay. We have a proper motion to amend Exhibit A, and we have a proper second by McCallum to amend Exhibit A. All those in favor of amending Exhibit A, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, I heard myself, McCallum, and Bowles. All those opposed?
Nay.
I heard Alderwoman Snell and Hoskins. Now, we're back to the original motion. Do we have discussion on that? Alderman Bowles.
No, sir.
Alderman Hoskins.
I think you've already made up your mind on this. No, nothing to talk about.
Alderwoman Snell.
Nothing.
Alderman McCallum.
Nope.
And before we vote, Mr. Stahl, have we done this correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All those in favor of the amended resolution number 2016-237, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The motion passes 3-2. Those in favor, Jennings, McCallum, Bowles. Those opposed, Snell, Hoskins. Item 7.6, consideration and approval of resolution 2016-216, adopting a written policy to allow only authorized city personnel to have access to city electronic records and restrict the mayor from access that could lead to alteration, manipulation, or erasure of city electronic records. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to consider and approve resolution number 2016-216, adopting a written policy to allow only authorized city personnel to have access to the city electronic records and restrict the mayor from access that could lead to the alteration, manipulation, erasure of city electronic records.
Do I have a second?
Second.
So I have a proper motion by Mr. Bowles and a second by Mr. McCallum. Mr. Bowles.
All right. We came up with this because the way our accounting system's set up, if you have a password, you can go in and alter anything. There is no read-only. It's not set up for that. That's an expensive software we don't have. So anyone that gets into it can manipulate, change things, erase things, whether it's on purpose or it's by accident. I think having one person, the city administrator, have access to that, that leads to accountability. Only one person can get to it, they're accountable for everything in it. Same goes with the municipal software. The court clerk handles that, Mr. Stahl. Same goes with the utility software. I believe that I'm not trying to restrict access. I'm restricting that anybody can get into it. If you want copies of records, by all means, ask for it. You'll get it. That should be allowed. That is allowed, but because we're public. We have to. But allowing anybody to get in and do that. And I have issue with the mayor, but I will not voice that here right now. I'd rather say it to her face in public. But I have issue with it, and I believe that if we can keep the accountability down to one person, that is fine. I don't think there's an issue with that. So that's why we came up with this, and I worked with the city attorney, and I'm a firm believer in it. So.
Could I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Why did you have to come up with an ordinance like this? What is the background?
I have true concern about the mayor's former indiscretions, criminal record, and I have serious issue with the fact that you can go in and manipulate money. You can manipulate anything in our accounts, and she has a history. And we've had this discussion when we found out about this stuff when I was first elected with the city attorney. And I'm not saying that I don't trust her, but I don't trust her. It's got to deal with the fact that there's a history there. And I'd rather leave it to one person and fall back on that. Something could happen, and it may not be her fault. It could be an accident. But I don't want to have to go down that road with the city and the financial issues that could happen.
Has the mayor requested this access?
Has she asked?
Yes, the mayor has asked for the master username and password for all the city's software, including but not limited to the utility building, municipal court, general ledger.
And with the municipal software, if you have a ticket in the city or if somebody's in here that you know has warrants that you have to pay, you could easily go in and manipulate that. You can go in and manipulate the money, dealing with our budget. You can deal with in the utilities if you have a history of not paying your bill on time or disconnect notices or anything like that. That could be manipulated as well. I have a serious issue with that.
Okay.
That's why I came up with this, why we worked on this.
Mr. Hoskins.
Few questions such as, can you just describe
the I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Can I ask Mr. Saul a few questions?
Sure.
Can you describe why we can't go to a view only? And I realize it does cost more because we use QuickBooks. QuickBooks for certainly not for municipal. I'm guessing, I don't know. Can you give us an overview of what the software is, basically?
Yes, but we have a lot of software packages. But our general ledger accounting is done in QuickBooks, QuickBooks Pro. The version that we have does not have read-only or inquiry-only user capability. But that wasn't what was asked for anyway, but it doesn't have that. We have municipal court software where we track all the citations and court pleadings and payments. We have a utility billing software, which tracks consumption of water and billing records. We have other software that operates our server system, our records management, and a lot of the office type of software packages that you would have. we have access, electronic access to TextPool, to doing financial transfers, to doing direct deposit and direct payment of employees. We do direct deposit checks for payroll. All of those have usernames and passwords. They have access to transfer and move money between accounts and different funds. So we have accounts with the IRS, with the state comptroller. We have three accounts with the state comptroller. We have the Texas Workforce Commission that we transfer and make payments with. There's probably 30 different username and passwords that are commonly used and others that are not so commonly used.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really what I kind of wanted to know. And there's, you're saying there's just no way to set a view only on probably on many of those, a report only type access, without some major software changes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm good. Thank you.
Alderman Sam?
I do have some questions, if I may address Mr. Stahl. Have previous mayors had access to all of the aforementioned? Okay, so, all right.
And some of those I don't even have. To get the master username and password, it's all on a need-to-have basis. We try not to have those out, you know, like municipal court, for example. I have access to that, but I don't ever use it, and I don't log on with that. There's some for the police department that I don't have at all. Department heads have that information.
Okay. One of my concerns with this is, I mean, if something were to happen to Mr. Stahl, though, if you've only got one person, then what? I mean, if you do not have an alternate that has access to that information, then are we going to be locked out of, it sounds like, you know, important aspects of the day-to-day operations of our city? And I didn't find anywhere here where there is any kind of contingency, and that is a bit concerning.
Well, some of those are by design. For example, I have a username and password for the Attorney General's office. And it is, and like many of them, it is my username and password. And if something happens to me, they want you to go through the application process so they can vet the person who's having access. So you do start from scratch. It's not one of those passwords and usernames I would write down and pass on to my successor. They want to start that process over. Some of them require, and some of them that I have require that I be a peace officer. Most don't, but some do. And the same thing with municipal court. Municipal court clerk has access to OmniBase, for example, it has access to put fines and amounts on driver's license to suspend the driver's license. I don't have that username and password, and I don't want that username and password. And sometimes when she leaves, we will make an application for another user, and they will then be on the hook for that and be responsible for those records. So there really isn't in all cases, a succession where you do it, you go back to the original agency. Now, the software we have in-house, like QuickBooks and those things, those masters are written down, and they're in a place that's accessible, and we have a safety deposit box if we want to do that, where somebody can get access to them when the key user is gone.
Okay.
But even that, some of our software, we contact the vendor, and the vendor issues a new one, and making sure it's the right person to have it.
That's all.
Mr. Bowles.
Yes, sir.
Or Mr. Stahl, either one. The real issue here is access to the accounting system. Is that correct?
For me, my concern is just mostly inadvertent error. A system you don't use on a regular basis, you're not familiar with, and having the master password where you can go in and, in essence, lock everyone else out or inadvertently delete or move or disturb without even necessarily knowing you're doing it. It doesn't require any malicious act at all. We train the employees to use the various software to use it properly, and we don't give them master passwords so that we have that problem. But that's the key concern. Access and access to the information has never been a problem. The mayor has asked for example, the check register for the last two years, you know, which is well over 1,400 pages of printouts. Anything you ask for is available. It's in the system, and you just get it out of the system.
Okay. So that I understand correctly, this is not a matter of getting information to the mayor or anyone on council. This is a matter of protecting the data from corruption.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions?
I'm trying to say one other thing.
Sure.
Right now, there's an air that there's a lot of wrongdoing going on in the city, and people are being bought and sold, and payments are being made, what have you. This is to alleviate some of this. because one person has access to it. If I'm getting a check, or if anybody else is getting a check paid by the city, you can go and get it. You can ask for the records. It's not happening, but just to kind of calm the allegations. And I think it's best for the city if we just keep the accountability to a minimum if we can.
Yeah, I see where I've been bought off too. So. We have a proper motion by Mr. Bowles. We have a proper second by Mr. McCallum. On item 7.6, consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-216, adopting a written policy to allow only authorized city personnel to have access to city electronic records and restrict the mayor from access that could lead to the alteration, manipulation, or erasure of city electronic records. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay. All those abstain?
Abstain.
Okay.
I did vote aye.
You voted aye. Okay, so we have Alderman Jennings, McCallum, Hoskins, and Bowles in the affirmative. No nays, and one abstention from Alderman Schnell. That said, the motion and the resolution passes on a 4-0-1 vote. Item 8.0, adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
You have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Good night, folks. Thanks for coming out.